Test, test. 1, 2, 3.
Jobbers Club.
Got him.
Recorded, started. What is going on?
What is going on, Jobber Nation? Welcome back to another episode of Jobber Club Podcast with your jabronis, Vogel, and the face who runs the place, Tyler Face. Face, how's it going?
It's going, bro. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing good, you know, doing good.
You think we should give them a little background of who we are, how we come across to do this?
I mean, well, they'll find out in a few minutes, hopefully. I'm just gonna announce like an upload schedule real quick, and then we'll get right into that.
Fantastic, go for it.
So far, we're planning on twice a month, so every other week you'll get an episode. At the moment, because starting off this episode, we have a little bit of an announcement. Our co-host and resident Paul Heyman, Macho Man, Hulk Hogan impersonator, Nicholas Cole, will no longer be part of the show. We just want to take a time and take a little bit of a minute out of the show to say thank you for helping launch the podcast and all your and behind the scene antics that you provided. We know this isn't goodbye. We'd like to have you on the show from time to time, every now and then, if schedules provide. And Jobber Nation and Face and myself would like to wish you and your band the best of luck going forward.
Hell yeah, bro. Hell yeah. Send me some links to your new band, and dude, exactly. I'm down to listen. Down to listen.
Exactly. So that is where we are coming from. We're going back down to two hosts, Face and myself. We're still going to be providing all the wrestling information that you guys known us for. So we just want to wish Cole the best of luck.
Dude, good with luck. That, rock
with
out.
With that being said, Face, it's been a crazy 2 weeks for wrestling, hasn't it?
Oh my God, it's been wild.
We've had the ups and the downs with, you know, Terry Funk passing away and the passing away of Bray Wyatt.
I'm going to be honest. I was like, who is Terry Funk? And I had to do a little bit of research because couldn't remember. Dude. And then the next day, Bray Wyatt, I'm like, wait, what? No.
Yeah, it was crazy. Definitely crazy. I mean, Terry Funk, one of the innovators of hardcore. He actually changed his style midway through his career, really. The Terry Funk that we know, that we grew up watching, the hardcore Terry Funk, that was how he was. I mean, he was a more technical Daniel Bryan style wrestler when he started.
Daniel Bryan was amazing to me.
And when he did the territories down in Texas, that's how he was. He was the more technical wrestler. He really innovated the hardcore when he went to Japan and changed that style around. And that's the style that we know him for, you know, and there would be no Mick Foley without Terry Funk. Let's just put it that
this
way.
This is true. Mick Foley was one of my all-time favorites.
And then we also had some highs this past weekend with AEW coming off of All In.
Yes.
Not only was that probably like their staple point to really cementing All In as their WrestleMania, but it also set a record for the attendance too.
Yes, I see
a wrestling show. And that's crazy. It's not only for an AEW event, not only for a WWE event, for any wrestling ever. So biggest crowd in Wembley Stadium. Nice to see something over there in London, you know.
Yes.
I think going forward, you think possibly WrestleMania, London. Could you see it?
Possibly. You know what?
You already had SummerSlam over there.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. You know what? I could see it eventually. They give him more deals and oh shit. I forgot my bread bowl. God damn it. Whatever. but yes, I could see it going over there. There's a big audience over there for wrestling.
Exactly. And, you obviously just seen it with the record attendance being broken over there. And people were just saying that AEW and Tony Khan were blowing smoke up everybody's asses and saying, no, this isn't, you know, the right amount of ticket sales you guys are fabricating these numbers. No, they actually came through, and those were the numbers.
Those were all the numbers, right?
They showed up, and it was just crazy. I watched a little bit of even the Zero Hour, and that was just fans were filing in, and it was even filling up for that. And those are just, you know, two matches on there that one had title implications, and that was the MJF and Adam Cole, the Better Than You Baby, versus Aussie Open.
That I'm going to be honest. I never really liked MJF.
Yeah.
The screen. I don't like, there's a few hit or miss people in AEW that I want to stay watching it for, but.
I mean, right now, in my opinion, with AEW, the way it is and the way it has been for the past several months, I think right now what's carrying them is definitely that combination of Adam Cole and MJF. Because if you look at it, it's almost like the Team Hell No back in the day.
Yes.
Daniel Bryan and Holy Kane. Crap. It's like opposites are attracting, you know? So we like to see that. And I think this is... What if it could be done correctly? I think it could possibly be almost the new bloodline storyline for AEW.
Yes.
Especially with some of the matches. I mean, you just had them beat Aussie Open for the Ring of Honor World Tag Team Championships in that Zero Hour.
Yeah.
So, I mean, now that that's happened, and now that Adam Cole has tasted a match against MJF for the AEW World Championship, do you think that they're going to play on this a little bit more? How much further do you think that they can take this, though? That's the question. Because you don't want to run its course like this bloodline and have it go on and on. But yeah,
I mean, they can run it.
Have a fitting ending, though.
They can run it for probably a little longer, but not run it for 3 to 5 years like they've been with the bloodline.
Exactly.
Because that shit, dude. I love Roman Reigns when he was a part of the Shield, dude. That was super sick. I loved it. I loved it. The triple team, that was solid. And then the family got together. I get that. That was cool as hell that they said, you know what, let's do it. But now it's just what, 4 years later? It's annoying.
Yeah, it is definitely annoying. But yeah, I think it's gonna have like a sweet little ending to it. They had their main event match at All In, which was a great match. It had a lot of I think this thing that stood out to me was like the Eddie Guerrero moment that they had where the ref was down and they both had the steel chair in their hand and they kept tossing it back and forth, until the ref would get up, you know, and then MJF just took it a step further, put it around his neck and just laid down, you know, so, you know, it was,
that's Eddie Guerrero type of shit.
I think it says a lot though about MJF as a wrestler, since he can, not only can he open a show like he did in Zero Hour,
right?
But he can also main event that same show. He just showed both Tony Khan and Vince McMahon, or Triple H, whoever's handling the checkbook over at WWE right now, that he not only can he perform as an opener, but he can freaking burn the house down in a main event.
This is very true,
and I think that's what's going to make it really, really a big playing point and a big chip in his advantage is that he can do that, and that's going to bring out the more money for him negotiating in 2024. All In, you also had the match between Hook and Jungle Boy, aka Jack Perry. That one is the one match that we're just going to set aside because I think for the second straight year, this is something over some petty stuff involving CM Punk once again for the second straight year.
What is going on with CM Punk? Because
so he was
one of my favorites of all time. Top five.
It's all revolving around some backstage drama with Jack Perry, who is in this match against Hook. The thing is, it was about the usage of real glass versus fake glass in matches. CM Punk said, "We don't need real glass anymore." Jack Perry, he wants real glass.
I
can see both sides to the argument, but if majority of the guys, like the higher up guys that do these extreme matches, like Moxley, Omega, Young Bucks, Lucha Bros, if they all use real glass and they're saying, yeah, let's use real glass and CM Punk's in the minority, you know, then just be CM Punk and just shut up and just let it go. You know, obviously these guys want the real glass, you know, just let them be, you know, it's their bodies. They're the ones that have to do the injuries. If you don't want to work with the guy, don't work with the guy.
You know what? I'm with Punk because, you know, he's been through a lot. You know all the shit he's been through. Yeah. So I get it, but it's like, it's a double-edged sword. It's like,
exactly. Like, yeah.
If I want, I don't want to do it, but if you guys are going to do it, y'all go do it. I'm not a part
of it. I won't wrestle. Yeah, but I won't wrestle you guys. I have a list of what talents I will work with and which talents I will not work with.
Yeah. You know? I mean, you know what?
I think he can do that in his career. So, I mean, he's that famous, you know, he's got that draw, you know. But anyways, this revolving around a spot that Jack Perry did with Hook. Jack Perry came out with a nice car, you know, and match goes on, battle goes on to the outside. This is Extreme Rules, no DQ, no nothing. And he taps on the windshield of the car. He says, real glass, you know, don't like it, cry me a river, or something along those lines. And it was a blatant shot at CM Punk right then and there. Jack probably shouldn't have said anything.
He should have let
backstage heat be backstage heat. Be professional about it. Don't say anything. He's a younger guy anyways. He needs the respect of the veterans in the locker room, because that's how you don't get the respect of the vets. You disrespect them. But on top of that, you know, what happens afterwards is after the match, CM Punk's on next. He has his match. He starts the show. He starts All In against Samoa Joe for the quote unquote real world championship.
Yep. I'm looking at the notes right now.
And as they're walking past each other, going through Gorilla and stuff like that, CM Punk looks to Perry and asks him, got an issue? These are all reports, by the way. And Perry's like, nah. I don't like, just doesn't like acknowledge him and just like kind of shoulder checks into Punk as he's walking by him. Punk then just chokes him out, almost damn near knocks over Tony Khan. Apparently,
I mean, that's via reports, but don't piss off Punk.
Yeah, and then again, you know, that match happening right in front of Tony Khan. I mean, this is also the second year in a row that Punk has done something backstage just cause a fight.
Well, it's not really Punk, because he said, look, I don't want this. I don't respect it. And all these young bucks are coming through. Oh, whatever. I don't care what you want. Don't care. Don't care. Lose. Don't have respect. I mean, I get where he's coming from. He's an old head. He's trying to look out in a way that it may not look like it's looking out, but he's looking out like, hey, you guys don't want to fuck around with glass, because I mean, it'll hurt you in the end.
He was in those hardcore matches back in Ring of Honor with Terry Funk, when Terry Funk made
appearances
every now and then. He was in those matches. He was in a lot of those matches.
Oh, my God. In the throwback to what the hell was it? Jesus Christ. ECW? I'm drawing a blank. That ECW. Because
he also wrestled for ECW too for a minute.
Yeah, he did. The NXT days. When he was like the so-called head of it or whatever.
Oh, Nexus, you mean?
No, yes, Nexus. Yeah, Nexus. Yes.
And then he also had the Straight Edge Society too.
Yes, oh Jesus Christ!
Which is kind of like what you're seeing right now, is how much of an asshole he's being right now is almost reminiscent of what he was as the Straight Edge Society.
And
I'm having a hard time right now deciding like what's actually a gimmick right now and what's actually CM Punk. Because I don't know if this is all kayfabe right now, if he's trying to do like an MJF and just keep kayfabe, or if he's really this pissed off and like an old senior citizen at a retirement home.
Man,
that's what he's sounding like right now.
I don't know. Like, it's hard to even. I literally go to Chicago all the time, and I'm surprised I haven't ran into CM Punk yet. Like, I'm dead ass. I
just always camp outside a Steer Center. He'll be out.
You have eventually. No idea how bad I want to go camp out somewhere. Just wait.
And going back to like CM Punk versus Samoa Joe for the real world championship, as they called it.
But they've been working together for many, many, many years with
CM Punk and Joe.
Yeah.
Yeah. They've worked together for many years too, but
not TNA. What the hell?
Ring of Honor.
Ring of Honor, yeah.
Yeah, that's where it all started.
And then early days of WWE.
Yep, they crossed paths briefly, I think, in WWE. Can't remember if Punk was already out by then or not, but I remember them do Ring of Honor for sure.
It was a few matches. I know that.
But anyways, like I don't really have much for the match. I mean, it's a typical, you know, Joe versus Punk match, you know?
Yeah.
But my biggest thing is this has to be a blatant slap also to MJF's face.
Yeah.
Spray painting an X, you know, I know it's his logo. I know Straight Edge Society, the X on the hands, you know, stuff.
I mean, I respect the Straight Edge because,
yeah, know. I respect that too. But it's like, I know he wants to brand it as a championship, like kind of like what NWO did back in the day.
Yes.
But, you know, you had to vacate it due to injury, dude. You didn't see Finn Balor throwing a little, you know, bitch fit on, you know, Raw when he had to vacate his championship and be like, no, you know, I lost it because of the injury. This is still technically mine. He's still fighting for that motherfucker 7 years later.
yeah, he is. Like,
I mean,
Finn Balor is a beast.
Just, you know, give up your strap. You know, you have chances to win it. Are you trying to tell us that you're not going to be wrestling for that much longer? Because that's what it sounds like. It sounds like you're not going to be wrestling, or you don't think you're capable to wrestle much longer. So you want that championship as long as you have it.
This is true. I mean, shit. Like, what is he, 50 now? Getting up there?
Yeah, I think he's in his early 40s, I want to say. We're going to do a fact check real quick. See how.
Right now. I'm doing that right now. If my
Okay. Sweet.
Oh, shit. He's only 44. Oh, wow. He's way younger than I thought.
Yeah, he's like 44, yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Shit.
Yeah, he's not that.
I felt like he was almost 50. Like, Jesus. But no, like, fun fact, he's worth apparently $12 million. But, yeah.
Must be from his, like, three fights at UFC.
Man, this is a side quest. I'm sorry. But,
you good, man?
I wanted him to succeed in UFC, dude. I really did.
We all did. We thought he was going to kick ass. We're like, dude, this guy's like, he'll just hit you with one go to sleep and you'll be done. No, man.
I wanted him to succeed so bad. And then Triple H shit on him for not succeeding. God, that hurt me.
Well, I mean, look who else Triple H shitted on. I mean, he also shitted on Daniel Bryan, too.
He shitted on, like, okay, that link I sent you a little bit ago.
Oh, yeah, about the he doesn't want Shane McMahon back.
Yeah, I'm like, dude, bye. See ya. Nobody wants you here anyway, you old fuck. Sorry.
I mean, he's a McMahon. He's bound to tear a quad when he gets back into the ring anyways.
Yeah. I mean, where did it go? There it is. I've got a lot pulled up over here.
Oh, you're good. It is all good.
Yeah, I sent you that, and I'm just like, bro, what the hell? Like, bye. Like,
yeah, exactly.
I'm not... When Triple H was in DX was my favorite. The Raw is War type of era, and then the Attitude era. Old school Triple H.
No, I'm talking about real old school Triple H. I'm talking about Hunter Hearst Helmsley.
Yes, yes.
When he came out with the little ruffled shirt.
Yes. Old school, like 20 years ago, school, old school.
When he was the blue collar guy and he was facing this bloodline that was like really rich.
I want to share this. Right
into that bloodline.
Yeah, no shit. Oh shit, what did I just do?
And definitely a lot of issues going on with Punk himself. I hope that whatever it is, I just hope it's kayfabe, honestly.
I want to see him succeed.
Not just that, but there's also the pay-per-view this weekend, All Out, in Chicago. Now, suspensions have been handed down to both Punk and Jack Perry, but we don't know if said suspensions will actually be enforced for Punk or if they will be somehow modified, because it is in Chicago, and you really don't want that Chicago crowd turning against you.
Oh, no.
I mean, that's how you lose a crowd real fast. I mean, that's going to be like ECW.
Where is that?
Is that United Center?
Okay.
Yeah, right downtown, I think.
I'm sure my girl could tell me right where it's at. She's from there. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
yeah, we go there. Like, we're actually leaving for there tomorrow morning. So.
Oh, hell yeah. Yep. So, yeah, they're right there at the United Center. So I can only imagine it would be like ECW's One Night Stand, where it was if Cena wins, we riot that match against Rob Van Dam. It would be like that type of atmosphere.
Yeah. I feel like
if CM Punk is not there.
Yes.
We also had on All In, we had Bullet Club Gold.
Oh, yeah. Another let me jump back to
the
that.
Bullet Club, which was Jay White and Juice Robinson with Takeshita.
Yep, right there.
They defeated the Golden Elite with Kenny Omega, Hangman Page, and Ibushi. That match, I did watch a good portion of that match. I found it online. I didn't like the way it ended. I'm just going to be honest with you. You have Omega, who is on a roll with two V triggers back to back on Robinson and White. I mean, he was just, you know, taking guys out left and right, and he gets pinned by a roll up, like by a schoolboy roll up. Like,
yeah, it's
I get the element of surprise with a roll up, but
that's a cheap win.
It is. It's a cheap win. You had multiple schoolboy rollout up wins in this pay-per-view. I mean, I don't get me wrong. It was a good pay-per-view, but there's a time and a place for a schoolboy roll-up.
Yeah, that's not at a pay-per-view.
And yeah, I mean, especially with this storyline. I mean, the storyline is revolving mostly around Kenny Omega and Don Callis. You know, it's not revolving mostly around – I mean, also you have – the little side between the Bullet Club and the Elite, how the Elite broke off from the Bullet Club. But other than that, I mean, it's all personal with Don Callis and Kenny Omega.
Right.
It's like, why would you have someone look that you're trying to build up in this look weak? I mean, it doesn't make sense.
This is true.
It doesn't. But I am excited, though, to see where Omega versus Takeshita goes for All Out this weekend, because they are also having a one-on-one match this weekend.
That cough. So I just got notes pulled up. The results of All In.
Mm-hmm.
I wish I would have watched it, because I love Sting and I like Darby Allin.
Oh yeah, yeah. That's I love both of them. Yeah,
they were versus Swerve and Stickland and Jesus Christ! Why didn't I watch that? That would have been
so dude. Cool. That ending was amazing.
That would have been such a great.
The Christian Cage and Swerve Strickland.
Oh, I forgot who. It just hit me. I'm like, Christian. What?
Yeah, Christian Cage. Yeah, that's where he goes. That's where he went by on Impact. Dude, the ending to that was Darby Allin did a coffin drop off the top rope. Swerve Strickland was halfway in and halfway out of the coffin. Sting was holding it down so he couldn't move. Did a coffin drop. That lid. Right on Swerve Strickland's back, dude.
Oh my god!
They rolled him in there, shut the coffin.
Jesus once. Christ! I wish I would have watched that,
dude. It was awesome. I watched so that last little bit of it, and it was it was pretty dang good. And now Sting's going back to the Joker Sting too.
It's not the same
paint though. It's not the same paint though. It's a different Joker though. It's like a different variation of it.
You know what? Send me whatever links you have to. I gotta start watching.
Dude, it's like a pencil. It's like the pencil smile, like pencil thin smiley face on it. Yeah, it almost looks like the It smiley face almost in a way, but it doesn't have like little curls.
I'm excited.
Yeah. What did you think about Saraya, or Paige, I should say, winning the AEW Women's Championship in her home country of London? Well, of England, I should say. Sorry for all of our listeners over there. winning her first championship in almost 9 years. Her actual first women's world championship.
You know what? She's put in the work. She deserves it. I mean,
especially coming off of that injury, like Daniel Bryan with the concussions. You know.
Yes.
I mean, and plus, who she defeated in that match too? You had Sheeta, Dr. Britt Baker, and Toni Storm. The only thing I have questioning is going forward is how they're going to handle the outcasts, which is Toni Storm, Saraya, and what's her name? Ruby Soho, how they're going to handle that going forward, because Saraya turned on Storm to win that. Well, not really turned on her really necessarily, but, you know, hit her in the back and pinned her. It wasn't like one of those finger pokes of doom, you know, pins. It was an actual, you know, hit and then pin.
I'm going to send you this link right now, the page I'm going off of. And it's actually, I think you may have sent this to me. I don't know. I don't know if you sent this one to me or not, but this is the one I'm going off of.
All right, I'll pull it up in just a second. I got like a little bit of it from there, but yeah, that's what I usually go off of.
Okay, cool.
That's where the pay-per-view is actually streamed on, is actually Bleacher Report. So yeah, you're good.
Why? Oh my God. I mean, yeah, I'd rather not pay 60, 50, 60 bucks for it. So.
No.
We'll no offense to the fans, but
yeah,
it's a lot right now. So
actually we can get into that now since you mentioned it. There is actually, you know, back in the day how we had Monday Night Wars.
Yes.
With WCW and WWE, we could possibly start getting into like South Park streaming wars. HBO Max might be picking up AEW's library. Tony Khan has expressed interest in wanting to have HBO Max pick up the library. We don't know if that includes pay-per-views or not.
Oh, please.
So if it does
make it happen.
So if it includes pay-per-views, you see HBO Max and Peacock raising their prices to include tier lists that could include a higher price to include these premium events?
I mean, HBO possibly, but HBO is already $16 a month. So if it raises up to 20, I use it. I share it with a couple people. So, exactly. I mean,
at the end of the day, it still works out probably.
At the end of the day, it's not bad. But I use Peacock for WWE, and I've been trying to get TNT again, but I am failing miserably at getting that. So,
hey, I mean, shoot, you gotta do what you gotta do. I mean, but yeah. I think right now, as it is, I think AEW just needs to find some type of streaming service.
Yes, they need to get on.
Or if it's like what WWE did for a while until they got bought out by Peacock with the WWE network, you know, start your own AEW network, you know, unless the WWE had some type of patent that pended that said, hey, no other wrestling promotion can do this, which I don't think is true because
I think that's not possible.
I think Ring of Honor has Honor Club or something, which you can sign up for and you get their entire library, you know, on demand and stuff. So I think that if they start off even with that, they'll have buyers within a year easily because you'll have streaming services being like, you know, we want this.
Yeah.
We want this to have it. You know, we want to have it. And I don't know who TBS is owned by. Are they owned by Discovery or something?
Let's find out.
Because if they are,
we're just gonna fact check this whole show.
I was about to say, yeah, we could. If not, they could follow their, you know, whatever parent company TBS is with.
I think it's Warner Brothers.
And just go with whatever their main streaming service is. I mean, it
says Warner Bros. Discovery.
Oh, so it's Discovery then. So whatever Discovery's under, I know they used to have their own little network, you know, their own little streaming service. What if they got picked up by them?
They got Discovery
Plus or something.
Yeah, Discovery Plus. I used to use that all the time.
Yeah, so I mean, they could possibly do that because that falls underneath the umbrella of the parent company. Just have them pick up your library. That way you can have your stuff day after and you don't have to worry about it.
Okay, so what is this rumor? I've heard it a few times. Oh, I've seen it. I've read it a few times. About, I think, Jay Uso?
Oh, quitting SmackDown or quitting WWE?
Yeah, to go to AEW?
No, that's not true at all.
That's not true? I think that would be awesome. But
100% not true. Whenever, here's what years of watching this stuff has always taught me. When a wrestler blatantly goes out on television and says, I quit the company, pretty much, they don't quit. It's just they're taking time off and they're going to be repackaged or they're going to have them in a storyline later down the road. It's just some vacation time coming up for them.
This is true. I guess I should have realized that, but I thought it would have been dope as fuck.
Because you know he just had issues. It's not like the Bret Hart shit where he got screwed in Montreal and just wrote WCW, you know, on camera because he was going there because his contract expired. You know, it's not like that. Usually nowadays they won't even let you. They'll cut the cameras off. They'll pull mics and everything. You know.
Yeah, like they did Punk years and years ago. They pulled
exactly the mic, with the pipe bomb, the other mic. You know? Yeah. Yep. So yeah, all in, pretty much. Any other matches that I have worth of note besides what we just already went over? There's some good ones. I mean, the one that I didn't really care for was the Jericho and Will Ospreay match. I just don't see where Jericho goes from here. I don't see
Jericho needs to retire. I like
that's what him. I'm saying.
He's awesome. He's a good dude.
I watched like highlights of the match. He just looked out of it. I don't know if it was the time differential, you know, being over in London. I don't know if it was jet lag, but he just looked behind and it looked like Ospreay was carrying a lot of that match. I mean, I understand that Ospreay is a little bit younger than Jericho, but I just think that Jericho just needs to retire.
I think it's time for him to be commentary.
Yeah, because he does a good job as it is on
Rampage. Oh, dude, I got to see him wrestle about. Oh shit! When I was like 17, so it was like what, 2008, 2009 ish, something like that.
I say we graduated in 2010, so yeah, about that area.
It was out there in KZU at the Wing Stadium.
Oh yeah, when they did their house shows on a tour for WrestleMania. Yeah.
Yes.
On the road to WrestleMania. Mm-hmm.
I have all of those pictures. I showed you that stuff I come across the other day. I thought that was pretty kick ass. I actually got to meet Jeff Hardy after that match.
Damn, bro, that's awesome. I know how much you love the Hardys too.
Man, I wish I had a picture of that, but now I wasn't able to get one. My phone died literally seconds before I got to meet him.
It's like what, $10 for a Polaroid picture?
Yeah, I was like, nah, I don't need all that.
I don't need that. Nah, they upped the prices. But no, he doesn't have anything now. If you look at it in AEW, he doesn't have the Inner Circle no more. That up and left. The Jericho Appreciation Society, that went and crumbled.
I liked how he tried to bring back the list again. That was one of his favorite gimmicks. I liked that.
The best friends with Kevin Owens.
Yes, that was awesome.
That was awesome. Everything went crumbling down. Well, that's kind of like what Don Callis did to him, man. He built him up. He wanted him to join like the little Don Callis family. And he was like, all right, yeah, I'll finally do it. And then when he did it, he unveiled that oil painting of him and Jericho, but Don Callis was holding Jericho's hand. Not hand, but head, you know? So he turned on him and he was like, what the hell? It's just, where does he go? I think right now, I think he just needs to retire, stick to his podcast.
I haven't listened to his podcast in so damn long. Me neither. I kind of forgot about it.
We're rivals. I'm just calling them out right now. I don't even think he'll even listen to this, but we are rivals, sir. Meet me at All Out next year. I am making this match happen. It will be a 2-on-1 handicap match, sir.
Well, let's go.
I'm about to say I'm involving you too in this.
I guess I'm going to swanton off the top rope.
Can you see us trying to do that? Oh, no, man.
Let's get it.
Yeah. That would not happen. I mean, speaking of getting it, I mean, the dude's like probably in his mid-50s, Billy Gunn.
Billy Gunn is like 60, isn't he?
I think he's in his late 50s, if not early 60s, yeah. But him and the Acclaimed taking out the House of Black and winning the AEW World Trios Championships.
I'm sorry. Jesus Christ, I can't see.
He is
59 years old.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
And he's a World Trio champion.
Where the fuck did it just go?
Oh, you liked him with Road Dogg, didn't you? The New Age Outlaws.
Oh my god, I just had it up. I literally just had it up. Whatever, computer. I don't care. Fuck you. What was his name? Malachi?
Malachi Black.
Yes.
Yeah.
Isn't that... So he's getting married to Rhea Ripley.
No, that's Buddy Matthews.
Okay, wrong one.
That's the red hair guy that's like super jacked. He's like Carrot Top without like the fro.
Yeah, that's true. All right, see, I had the people mixed up.
No, Malakai Black is married to Zelina Vega in WWE. Oh,
this is true. Okay. Yeah. I had the names and pieces mixed up.
I mean, hey, they're still in the WWE. I mean,
both their spouses will be in the WWE.
I mean, technically, that's a win, I guess. I mean, Malakai.
But I like that they're going dark. Some of the people are like, fuck it, let's go dark. Like, that's kind of, I like that type. Like, Rhea Ripley, Dom, like they went dark. And yeah. I still like that Dom went against his dad. I still love that. That was still one of my favorite matches.
I got to say, too, with this match, too, with the Acclaimed versus the House of Black, I really did like the entrance. I do got to say they did pay a nice tribute to Bray Wyatt. Buddy Matthews was holding the lantern when he came out like that in honor of Bray Wyatt. And you seen everybody's phones light up with the flashlights, with the fireflies, you know, and it was a real cool tribute. Right. But I also think this is probably Billy Gunn's final hurrah, probably. I honestly see the Acclaimed as trios champions as like a buffer champion, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like to have like a champion before like your main champion that you want to have the belts for the longest, because because if you look at it, Billy Gunn put his boots in the ring a few weeks ago and there was questions if he was coming back or not. Like you said, he's 59 years old. I think this championship probably won't last very long for the Acclaimed and Billy Gunn, maybe one or two defenses, major defenses. And then I see them switching the belts to somebody else, whether it be the Golden, Bullet Club Gold or the Golden Elite, whoever it is. I think it's going to switch hands probably again. If not, maybe Death Triangle. We haven't heard from them in a while either.
I like that you're caught up on AEW because, like, I know bits and pieces of it.
I mean, fake it until you make it, right?
Cool. We graduated somehow.
I mean, I can bullshit a bullshitter.
We graduated somehow.
Yeah, exactly. But, so we got All In coming in this weekend, staying on the subject of AEW. Not All In, but All Out, rather. Like we said, it's going to be in Chicago, Illinois, at the United Center. So this is actually where it all began, if you realize it.
Think about it now.
Yeah, their first ever pay-per-view event before it was even AEW.
Yeah.
When they just had guys from New Japan, Ring of Honor.
Man, I wish I would have realized that was this weekend because I could have jumped all over that.
Oh, yeah. And it's in the original place, too, that they had the United Center.
2 hours away from me.
Oh, yeah. It's not that far. Yeah. But, we got some pretty decent matches. We got Luchasaurus with Christian Cage defending his TNT championship versus Darby Allin.
Okay. AEW.
And that will be a heck of a match, I think. Well, not really a heck of a match. I mean, I right now can tell you that I expect some type of interference from Christian just starting right off the bat.
Yeah.
I don't see this being a clean pin. For Luchasaurus, but regardless, I have him winning. I have him getting the pin. I have it being pin. I don't have it being disqualification, I think. But Christian will, like I said, do some type of interference, get Darby distracted. The only way I see Darby even coming close is if Sting comes out and helps him, which could be a possibility. Never say never, but the way Sting, how old he is, how many matches he can take.
Right.
I don't see him coming in this match after wrestling last week.
I think the Chargers out there in the camera. No?
Sorry.
You're good. Question. So that's who I have winning that match this weekend.
I like Darby Allin for the win.
Oh, you got Darby Allin. You're going to have Darby pulling off the upset. I mean, I would like to see Darby with another reign of the TNT championship. I know he's had it before. But I think right now, I think they're going to pin this on Luchasaurus for as long as they can. Because
I just want to be devil advocate. That's all, because I like Darby Allin.
I love Darby. Yeah, Darby's awesome. I mean, but yeah, I mean, it wouldn't shock me though if they do decide to switch hands, but for right now, I'm picking Luchasaurus.
This is true. I'm sorry. I'm looking for a charger. But I got the matches right here. Orange Cassidy versus John Moxley for the AEW
International. They couldn't be like WWE and have Intercontinental, so it's got to be international.
Yeah, no shit.
We're going International House of Championships.
House of Pancakes is what I want right now.
Chicken and waffles? Not sponsored, but if you guys want to, we will appreciate some free chicken and waffles.
Fucking A.
But anyways, yeah, that match, that's actually had a good build-up, to, in my opinion. It's been building up for weeks. Blackpool Combat Club has been attacking Orange Cassidy for the longest time, whether it be Moxley, whether it be Claudio, Wheeler Yuta, any of them. They've been just going after Orange Cassidy. I feel like Moxley really wants this championship for some reason. For some reason, he wants to go down to the mid-card level. He doesn't feel like he wants to be on the main card, like the top card anymore, I guess. I don't know.
I mean,
and he has a kid too now. So
he wants to spend more time with the kid, bro. Lighter
work schedule too. So, I mean, that it benefits him in the longer run. But I feel like this match will have Jon Moxley bleeding within the first 5 minutes of it. And I feel this match lasting a little bit. I'm not that match, but I feel this feud will last a little bit longer. I have Orange Cassidy retaining, but via disqualification. So I think Jon Moxley is going to lose.
Exactly. I know the names a little bit, but I don't exactly know like their fighting style. Orange Cassidy, I don't know the fighting style.
I can give you the exact fighting style. It's called the King of Sloth style. No, seriously, it is. He does if he had a fuck to give, I can say that because we're explicit, but I almost censored myself for some reason. But if he had a fuck to give, it would be non-existent because, yeah, he just doesn't. He's like one of those guys. It's like, in my opinion, it's like if a he's pretty much if a stoner became a wrestler.
But yes, Orange Cassidy is he's gonna win by DQ. Jon Moxley he's getting up there in age. He wants to spend time with his kid. I got that, dude. I was actually looking up his age. He's only 5 years older than I am.
He's actually not that much older.
He's young as shit.
Yeah, he's not that much older than us. He just looks old because he has no hairline.
Hey.
I have no disrespect. No disrespect.
I've been going bald since 18, bud. You've known me since we were, 15?
But you shaved for the swim team, so I always see you bald.
You know what? Fair enough. No hairline, and it's damn near gone. And that's actually going to get shaved again tonight. So,
hell yeah. I mean, hey, man, you can do the Mox look then, man.
I like my goatee. I can't let that go.
Oh, man.
And my hair doesn't grow much more than this, like at all. It doesn't grow. Damn. That's all I get. I got more hair on my face than I do on my head. And I'm not lying.
Oh man. Yeah, we also speaking of people with hair some more. I mean, Eddie Kingston. Eddie Kingston and Shibata have a tag team match against the Blackpool Combat Club of Claudio and Wheeler Yuta. I don't see Blackpool Combat Club really losing any matches. I think this is one of
I think that's going to be
the top faction in AEW.
It's
right going to
be like the Shield, something like almost, that. They're going to win, lose one or two.
I think the only other faction I can see coming close to them would be the House of Black.
Yes.
And even right now, the House of Black isn't getting that push that I want them to get. I mean, yeah, they're slowly getting that push. But I thought with the addition of Julia Hart, I thought with her being like the priestess or whatever, that it was going to like push them up more. But no, it's been a slow build for them. But I think, like we said, Blackpool Combat Club is going to be the ultimate end-all, be-all, pretty much faction. I see them winning in that tag team match. I don't see Eddie. I mean, I see Eddie putting up a fight and Shibata putting up a fight, but other than that, I don't. Wheeler Yuta, he's a good young rising star. I think he's going to probably be one of the top wrestlers probably in AEW within a few years. And I think that he's learning a lot underneath Daniel Bryan. He's taking all that knowledge and he's getting trained underneath these guys that have been in the business for 20 plus years. I mean, he's getting all this information and he's just using it and he's performing well. I mean, the only thing that he would need help with is just his promo skills. Other than that, he's good in the ring. So yeah. I think him and Claudio, it's a good tag team partner. It's a good tag team pairing right there. And I think Blackpool Combat Club gets the win. Also, with that being said, too, we also have a match that I'm going to keep my eye on. And that is more Bullet Club Gold action with Austin Gunn, Colton Gunn, Jay White, Juice Robinson. Taking on FTR, which is Cash Wheeler and Dax Harwood and the Young Bucks.
Yes. Okay, right here.
FTR is teaming up with the Young Bucks for some eight-man tag team action. Do you see that going out? Because we all know how the Young Bucks and FTR are with each other. They don't like each other. They're rivals. Do you see this being a situation where a tag is needed? One of the FTR. Well, you I probably know where I'm going with it.
I know FTR right where you're going with
either
this.
Either doesn't decide to tag the Young Buck, or the Young Buck doesn't decide to tag the FTR guy.
Absolutely.
Just quit mid match or whatever. Yes. Because if you look at it, that FTR and Young Bucks rivalry was not going to end at All Out.
It was
not going to end right there. It was going to end some other time because I don't see this stopping for quite some time, especially with all the exchanges ever since FTR was in WWE. There's been exchanges between all four on Twitter and social media.
That feud is going to go on for a little bit.
But you also got to factor in the part too that Young Bucks were once a part of Bullet Club also, where does the loyalty lie? Does it lie with the, hit me with the too sweet, or does it, lie with, FTR, in this situation?
This is very true.
A lot of variables to it.
It's going to be.
With that being said, I see Bullet Club Gold picking up the win because I see that it just imploded.
Yeah. I can see that. I don't remember what match it was, but it was like the same exact thing in WWE.
Oh, yeah, it's been done a lot, yeah.
I can't remember what it even was.
Well, even a modern-day example, you had Cody who wanted to have a tag team match with Roman and I think Solo. Roman and Solo versus him and Lesnar. Remember that when he went out to – Cody came out and the match didn't even start, and Lesnar gave him an F5 and just beat the living hell out of him.
Yes.
It's almost the equivalent to that, but I mean.
But I like Brock Lesnar, so. Was the match I wanted to. Oh my God, it just punched me right in the face. Brock Lesnar versus Cody Rhodes. I know this is. I don't know. But I didn't like that match. I didn't like it at all.
Oh, from the. Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
I didn't like it. I was really bummed out. I like that Cody Rhodes won, but like it was just like
you wanted that F5 at the end when they're shaking hands, right?
Yes, I wanted that. I needed that.
Do you think though, in all honesty, I mean, maybe I read too much into stuff, going on this side tangent. But you know how there's always that one match, when what was it, before the Royal Rumble, or I think that's what it was, when LA Knight was out there confronting Bray Wyatt, and then The Undertaker came out. It was, I think, for Raw 30 or something like that. Undertaker came out, and that's when he grabbed LA Knight by the throat, and then he threw him to Bray Wyatt, and Bray Wyatt hit him with the Sister Abigail. And then that's when they did that handshake, not that handshake, but Bray, not Bray, Undertaker said something to Bray. And it's almost like Undertaker was passing the torch to Bray. Do you feel like that that was almost the way of Lesnar's way of saying, hey, you're now Vince or Triple H's golden boy like I used to be? Take it and
you
run.
Know what? I did not think about that. Sorry, my mic stand just like
moved. Oh, you're good. And it
distracted the shit out of me. I did not think it think about it that way.
Because if you look at it, I mean, Brock became a part-timer and he was still winning championships. Cody could possibly do the same thing if he wants to spend more time with his family, complete the story, and just become a part-timer.
You know,
I still make that money
at all, dude. Yeah, you know what? Yeah, I think it might have been to do that.
Because if you look at it too, Lesnar, he's getting up there. He's not taking as many dates anymore. He's becoming a super part-timer now, you know. I don't know if he wants to try to get back into UFC or what the deal is, but you know, he's no longer, you know, the Lesnar that we knew back in like WrestleMania 25.
I mean, he is WrestleMania 30. So
yeah.
He's getting up there. I mean,
he wants to live that secluded life up in Canada. So
I thought it was Wisconsin, to be honest.
No, it's Winnipeg, not Winnipeg, but I think it's like Manitoba or something up in Canada.
Okay, see,
he went to school in Minnesota.
No, that's right.
He went to college and with Shelton Benjamin at Minnesota.
Yeah, they're actually still best friends. I know this.
Side quest,
but
well, Shelton Benjamin was actually pissed off that his wrestling coach at Minnesota was recruiting Brock Lesnar to come there because Brock Lesnar was a junior college transfer. And he was in the same weight division as Shelton Benjamin. And Shelton Benjamin was like a senior at that point in time. He got pissed off at his coach. Why are you recruiting another guy in my weight division? You know, I'm still here.
Right. I did not know that.
Yeah. Speaking of another big guys, Samoa Joe and Shane Taylor.
Let me jump back over to that
page. Those are two big boys that are going to be fighting this weekend.
Samoa Joe, man. I haven't seen him fight in a minute.
They're battling it out for the Ring of Honor World Television Championship. I have this noted as the battle of the big boys. Both over 6 foot tall, both over 300 pounds.
That's like
it's like almost like Mark Henry versus Big Daddy V, you know?
Holy Jesus, you just like ripped that right out of my head. That was Mark Henry versus one of the bigger guys. Like, I know the Big Show is tall as fuck, but it would have been like as well.
Yeah. But yeah, it's going to be some big boys in there. I don't know much about Shane Taylor. I tried doing a little bit of research on him. I know he's won 6-man tags on Ring of Honor. I know he's been Ring of Honor World Television Champion before. I know he's been around the independent scene. I think right now with Samoa Joe, no disrespect on him, he's a great wrestler, but I think with the news of Twisted Metal being picked up for season 2 on Peacock, that's going to take a lot of time out of his schedule to film since he is Sweet Tooth.
Right.
I think he's going to drop the belt to Shane Taylor. I think Shane Taylor is going to win it. Samoa Joe gets a little bit of a vacation before he has to start filming. Gonna take some time off for film TV for to film Twisted Metal, and then probably get right back.
Again, another side note, sweat quest. That's how my brain works. Is Skyrim supposed to be going to this A to B?
Oh yeah, you're good
over here.
Oh, detours are the best, man.
I kind of am trying to find that game again to replay it.
Oh yeah, dude, you can find them on emulators easily online. You just gotta find the right emulator. You can find it like Game Boy and
PlayStation. I have an Xbox and I can plug it up to my computer and shit.
Yeah, that would be pretty fun.
So I'm trying to figure out how I do all that because I'm
You're probably gonna see a remaster of that pretty soon, especially with the TV show kicking off like that, like it did. You're gonna see a remaster of it.
It's been years since I've played the damn game.
Oh yeah. Exactly, and to have I don't think they could have had a better, bigger guy than Samoa Joe to play Twisted.
No, dude.
Yeah, it's pretty good, but yeah, like I said, I see Taylor giving the belt, and then another match that I'm actually not concerned on, but I just want to see what route that they give it is the for the tag team championships. Those are up for grabs this weekend again. Better Than You, Baby, Adam Cole with MJF. versus take on the Dark Order of Alex Reynolds and John Silver for the Ring of Honor Tag Team Championships. Could we see this being a short-lived Ring of Honor championship, tag championship run for Better Than You? Since they did have, you know, that little at the end, will one of them turn heel? Will they not? Type situation at All In. But it's going to be interesting to see how it's handled. Or if they're going to have a little bit of a run with these titles and winning by flukes or, you know, winning by accident or close calls or what have you not. Right. But I swear if they don't defend that title and MJF does not bust out the kangaroo kick again, I'm going to be mad. That new finisher that he debuted, the kangaroo kick, that had me rolling. Oh man, he was so excited because he was set up to do it a couple, like about a week or so ago on Dynamite, and he's about ready to do it, but one of the guys got pulled out of the ring, so he couldn't, execute it. And I, All In, he was able to execute it. All it is him jumping and hopping like a kangaroo and just doing, going back and just kicking and extending his legs, and it's just hilarious. And it was, he finally got to debut it, but I mean, I don't know. It's one of those picks for this one that I think Better Than You, baby, retains. I just, you know, I think
that I'll agree with you because honestly, I'm not sure who the names. The names are not ringing any bells.
The Alex Reynolds and John Silver, they're part of the Dark Order, that faction that Brody Lee was part of, that he was the Exalted One.
That's okay. Okay. Now,
yeah, it kind of went downhill after Brody's passing. They didn't really do anything. They made them all baby faces and really didn't turn them heel at any point, really. And if they did, they repackaged them and put them in a different, like, area. Right. Like, not a different area, but with different people.
Yeah.
So, I mean, right now you have, like, the original members of Alex Reynolds and John Silver. I mean, they weren't bad as individual competitors when Dark Order was, you know, getting that little bit of a push. But that push was squashed, you know, months and months and months ago without getting TV time. And I don't see them losing the straps to, you know, Dark Order. They really haven't had anybody of any note come through and do anything. I mean, you teased the little thing with Hangman being the new Exalted One pretty much, and then had him turn his back on Dark Order and re-team up with the Elite. I mean, you have nothing for the Dark Order. I think they should just either disband the Dark Order or do something with them, because even with the return of Stu Grayson,
I think he
hasn't been on AEW television forever. He's been mostly working with Ring of Honor.
Right. This is, again, another side quest, but, you know, back in TNA days, which I haven't watched TNA in many, many years. They did Aces and Eights. If you
remember with Bubba Ray Dudley, Devon Dudley, Mr. Anderson, whatever you went by back then.
I think they should take something of that idea and reform it. Because, dude, when I say I was on the edge of my seat every week for what, that year they did that?
Almost. I think it was just about a year, God, yeah.
No. Yeah. I was like, oh my God, who is it? Who is it? I gotta know. Like, I was there every single week.
Yeah. Yeah. I think we need something like that. But the problem is that they tried, not AEW specifically, but other like promotions such as even WWE, they've tried to do something revolving around like a gang or something like that. Even with, what was it that they did it with a few years ago? Retribution. With Mustafa Ali, where there are those hackers and they wanted to, you know, do stuff, but it's like they're unveiling people. It's like, all right, well, who are these guys? And they just wore masks. You could obviously tell, like, all right, that's obviously Mia Yim, but yet you're repackaging her as something else, you know. But it's like they didn't put much thought into it. Like the Aces and Eights, that was like one of the best storylines in the last 20 years.
That was man.
And just think, that actually came from Impact Wrestling.
That's why I liked Impact. When Jeff Hardy was in Impact Wrestling, it was a lot of good people, and I ventured from WWE over to TNA, and I stayed there for a while, and I loved every storyline. It was cool as fuck.
Not just that, but you also had AJ Styles, peak AJ Styles.
Yeah,
you
know? AJ Styles, the Hardy Brothers.
You had peak Bobby Roode, too. Peak Bobby Roode. He was, you know. Holy
shit, yes.
Lance Storm.
Yeah.
Beer Money Inc., you know.
That was one of my favorite teams. Beer Money Inc., man.
Yeah, dude, it was. I mean, they had
some potential, matches, and then it just woof, right back down.
Ownership. It's ownership. You had Jeff Jarrett.
Jeff Jarrett, I think, owned it. He sucked so much.
Dude, he's still wrestling today. He's part of AEW. He got his ass kicked on Zero Hour.
Jesus Christ. Oh, and I hated him. Yeah. I hated him so much.
And after that happened, after he got his ass kicked, Powerhouse Hobbs came out and spoke. And he called out Miro, which is Rusev. Called him out, and Rusev's just not Rusev, I should say. Sorry, Miro is just returning back to in-ring action, and Hobbs hasn't been the same since losing the TNT Championship, and they haven't matched this weekend. So it's like, it's obviously going to be Miro because Miro's just returning. Give me Miro all day.
Sorry, but, the neighborhood is playing loud music.
Oh, I can't hear damn cars. Yeah, I'm not picking up anything, but.
Fantastic. I almost got a good ass mic then.
Shit, yeah. But yeah, I think the only matches I think we have left for All Out this weekend would be that we haven't touched on would be the AEW TBS Championship, which is the women's mid-card championship belt. It's crazy because if you look at it, this is Chris Statlander, the champion who's going into this match, is only the second champion to have this belt. It's been on Jade Cargill for well over a year. She had the undefeated streak for the longest time. Chris Statlander was able to beat her when she returned. But do you see Statlander won it a little over 3 months ago, give or take. Do you see her retaining against Ruby Soho, a.k.a. Ruby Riott? Or FKA, I should say, Ruby Riott.
I don't know.
Because,
I don't know. I can't give an
answer. If you also look at it, too, did they learn from the mistake that they made with the men's TNT championship? That thing switches hands every so often. I mean, that thing switched hands from, like, Cody to Darby to Brody, back to Cody.
They did that.
But it
just keeps switching it up, putting a new face in the hot seat.
Yeah, but I think to a certain point when they got put into that hot seat, people were wanting, all right, when this guy loses, maybe a little bit of a push towards the more top. And those guys weren't getting that push to the top. They're getting back to the end of the line for that TNT championship. They got stuck in that same rut, you know, over and over again. It's like, do we want to have Chris Statlander keep it a little longer? And maybe have her lose it at towards the end of the year, or would you rather have her lose it now and continue like what you do for the TNT championship?
I think
I don't think that women's locker room is a lot stronger than the WWE women's locker room.
I'd say let her keep it, let her build off of it a little bit, and then like let her get the
experience the title defenses, I should say.
Yes, let her get some experience underneath her, and then let them battle it out once and for all, and the winner takes all.
But with that being said, I'm taking Ruby Soho. I'm taking it to switch hands. The reason why is I'm thinking there's going to be some chaos brewing for the outsiders, which is Ruby Soho, Toni Storm, and Saraya. Saraya already has the women's main championship. If Ruby gets that secondary championship, Tony's the odd one out. Where does that leave Tony? Outside looking in, she ain't got nothing. I can see them possibly turning on Tony or Tony turning face, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, okay. From what I'm reading right now, probably Tony's going to flip.
Yeah, so that would be interesting to see if Ruby wins that, because that'd be two titles, you know, and they're looking at us like, what did you provide for us? You don't have anything. What value are you to us now? The only thing I could be like that I could see is, well, Saraya being grateful that she pinned Toni Storm, but even though that wasn't a lay down pin, you know, it was a straight up,
yeah,
you know, pin. And that it's going to be an interesting pay per view to say the least. I mean, I don't know if it's going to follow up last year's pay per view, not last year's, but last week's pay per view. But I think it's actually going to be a pretty decent one. I know that the dynamite that they had on Wednesday wasn't up to the standards of like a Raw after Mania type thing. It left people wanting a little bit more. Speaking of like Raw after Manias, we have some WWE action going down this Saturday in Pittsburgh for WWE Payback.
I'm not finding any lineup for tonight because I want to see the lineup. Like,
oh, for like SmackDown.
Yeah, I'm not finding John Cena and Rey Mysterio. That's it.
That's the only two that they're gonna release for right now because they probably have some stuff planned and they don't want.
John Cena's old as shit. I respect the dude, but he can be commentary,
he's starting early. Since he's old, he's got to start early for his road to WrestleMania. That's going to have a lot of bumps in it, okay?
You know what? Hey, I'm not mad at that. He's 46. You know what? All right. I get that. He can retire at WrestleMania, put his shoes in the ring, and go drink a drink on the fucking beach, okay?
But here's one thing. I got a question for you. Since this is the weekend that we have both promotions, AEW and WWE, having a pay-per-view event, one's on Saturday, one's on Sunday. Which ones, when you watch a pay-per-view event, which ones do you prefer better, Saturdays or Sundays?
Well, I work
especially.
Okay. Go ahead. I got a half-ass answer.
Especially now with two monkey wrenches being thrown in. College football season starts and NFL starts.
Man.
Yeah.
Well, considering I don't watch, I catch the scores on football. On this DraftKings is what I do. I don't really watch football. If it's on and I'll catch it, I'll sit and listen to it. It's background noise for me.
All right. So
college football. I mean, I watch like that's basically I'll catch it if I can. If not, I'll catch the score.
Exactly.
But I work night shift, so it's hard for me to do anything but catch scores and recaps. And man,
oh, yeah, I respect it though. Yeah, I respect it.
I catch what I can, and if I can't, I figure out where I can.
Exactly. That's understandable though. I mean, honestly, for me, I mean, I've always liked that Saturday pay-per-view.
Yeah, it would be the Saturday thing for me.
Because, I mean, Sunday, it just feels so rushed. Sunday's a relaxation day. Yeah, exactly. Sundays, it just feels so rushed, and you feel like you're waiting around for it all day. And then when 8 o'clock feels out, it comes around, or even 7 o'clock when the pre-show starts, you're mentally and, like, physically worn out. Physically
drained.
Yeah, you're like, oh, my God, I don't even know what to watch this, and you end up falling asleep, like, halfway through.
How many times have I done that? I'm just speaking
from personal experiences.
Jesus Christ, I have done that too many
times. I mean, I bet you can ask Cole, like, if he was to look over on his right-hand side at WrestleMania 35 main event before Ronda Rousey got pinned, not Ronda Rousey, but when Becky Lynch did that pin on Ronda Rousey.
I wanted to ask.
My eyes were closed, and all I heard was a whole bunch of people going, yeah. I'm like, I opened up my eyes. I was like, what the hell happened? Cole was like, dude, Becky Lynch just won. Dude, I fell asleep. Bro,
That's just us being old now.
But that was like the longest WrestleMania in WrestleMania history. That's why it's two nights now, because it got done at like 12:30 at night.
I mean, I get the longness of it, but like,
well, not just that, but we also had to travel too from Michigan to New York. So we had that 8 a.m. red eye. We had that 6 a.m. red eye flight from Detroit to Long Island.
This is true. I forgot about that.
Yeah, and that was.
But if I go out there,
8 a.m., dude, 8 a.m. See, that was going to cost way too much. We originally had a hotel lined up too, but by the time we got out anyways, we probably wouldn't even use it as it was. Right. Luckily, we didn't, because when we got out of there and got back into the city, it was about 3 in the morning. So we just went straight to the airport and just waited for our flight.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. But yeah, we got the payback this weekend.
We're going to have to set up something next year. No time soon. We're going to have to set something up and do a podcast and then go to a show and have
or live do one shows. Live at a show.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That has been
yeah.
a dream. That has been a dream. See you guys at WrestleMania in Philadelphia. No, I was just joking.
I know, right? That'd be pretty good.
We'll be right outside the link. We'll be in the parking lot right next to a dude selling hot dogs. I don't know if there'll be a guy selling hot dogs at that point in time, but he was there like 3 weeks ago. but anyways, no, these matches, it's so weird too, because this is in Pittsburgh, and you know, hopefully they got some crazy matches. Even for being in Pittsburgh, you'd think it was in Philadelphia for this pay-per-view. You got Becky Lynch versus Trish Stratus in a steel cage match.
Becky Lynch is taking it. Trish Stratus. Yeah.
I mean, are you sure? I mean, Trish is a part-timer. She's a Hall of Famer. She's a Legends contract. Shows up when she's called to. And
I like Becky Lynch, though. Becky.
I'm just dissing on it because I hate how they did this. You know, they have is your women's locker room not strong enough to face someone like Becky Lynch? Do you not see anybody who can perform on her level where you have to bring it in a part-time Hall of Famer that is signed to that Legends contract? I mean, what the hell? It's stupid. I mean, it's the same with the men's too. It's the same with the men's. You expect these Legends to have like a one-off performance, you know, not have multiple pay-per-view events.
Look at the thing I just sent you. I'm sorry. ADD squirrel brain. That's what I
you're all right.
Fiance calls me.
I figured you sent me something because you kept looking up.
That shit has me rolling right now, bro. You know what? I can do that. That shit had me rolling. I'm just like, bro, that's funny as hell.
There you guys go. You guys can stop the video or whatever. But yeah, no, that was pretty funny.
That's great. I'm sorry. That's where my brain went.
Oh, you're good. It's just like when I hate when they do that. It's like part timers. They just go ahead, not just part timers, but part time Hall of Famers at that. They go ahead and they have this spot that could be filled for someone that's just starting or just making their name up for themselves. Ooh, yes. You know, and they're taking a time, like TV time and experience time. I mean, Becky, she's already in there. She's already on a Hall of Fame. She's already a Hall of Fame career. I mean, let her put over a younger talent or work with a younger talent so then they can get that experience. Trish, she's on her way. I mean, she's already on out. You know, she's already a Hall of Famer. She's already won every single championship. What does this steel cage match have for her to prove? Right. Honestly.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's just to say that she's
for her at this point.
To say that she's been one of the only, what, X amount of women to be in a steel cage match? You know, that's the only thing she could say that she could add to her resume. She's not adding another championship. It's just a match. And then, I mean, for her to do that, I mean, I understand, you know, they're going off the storyline from like a few months ago where she attacked Lita and Becky's there to get revenge for Lita, but it's dragged on way too long.
This is, you're right. I'm kind of done with that storyline too. But then again, my brain, when I get detached from something, I'm just like, yeah, I'm over it.
Oh, yeah. And it's even this match right here, though, that I'm excited for is the Seth freaking Rollins versus the Shinsuke Nakamura match for the World Heavyweight Championship.
What was it called on Sunday again?
Sunday? No, it's Saturday. It's Payback.
Oh, yeah.
Payback. It's, yep. But yeah, it's the Shinsuke versus versus Seth Rollins for the World Heavyweight Championship. I love Seth. I think what he's doing right now with his in ring and with his promos and just how he is kayfabe wise, I think he's unbelievable. He's probably one of the best in his career so far. Even though he did have some good work with the Shield and with the Authority, I think this is probably some of his as comedic as it gets almost with him. And I would like to see Shinsuke though finally get a belt that's actually worth something.
I know, yeah, he was I like Shinsuke.
I know he was intercontinental for a while, but I mean, come on. You can only be content with a mid-card belt so long before, you know, you want more. And I think to see him with that world heavyweight would be awesome. Especially coming back from, I don't know if he was injured or what it was, but coming back to that would be really nice to see it. The only thing I could think of is if Vince gets the final go-ahead and decides to not give it to Nakamura. Because of the language barrier, we all know that Vince likes his wrestlers to have promos unless your name's Brock Lesnar. Then you can have something for you. But he likes to have majority of his male superstars be able to cut promos, and Shinsuke, you know, that language.
Well, get him a
Oh yeah, he can easily have probably like an interpreter or even
get him interpreter like the
great or even Paul Heyman or even yeah or even Paul Heyman too.
Even Paul Heyman.
You know, I think that they'll probably work with something with him. Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, even
that was one of my favorites, actually.
I mean, Alberto Del Rio had an assistant type thing, but he was somewhat an interpreter too.
Yeah.
In certain situations where when he didn't want to speak in English, you know, and even that, you know, but like I said, my heart says Nakamura for this championship, but my brain says Seth Rollins retains.
Yeah, so. You know what? I'm going with you there. You know what? Fuck that. I'm gonna say Nakamura.
Ooh.
But just to be devil's advocate, because I like Seth Rollins, but it's time.
But you're probably like me. You probably want to see
Nakamura. I gotta see new. Something worth it. I gotta keep going. I gotta see new.
Well, not just that too, but I mean, this is the introduction of that new belt that Seth has. So you know, let's get it rolling.
Oh,
it is.
Oh, I can.
Yeah, it's that all gold one. Yeah.
Oh my god, yes.
Yup. And then speaking of new belts too, Rhea Ripley defends hers this weekend against Raquel Rodriguez. Yep.
You are jumping all over my list here.
Yeah.
So Rhea Ripley is versus
Raquel Rodriguez.
Raquel. I thought yes. I was going to say Rachel, but because I can't read, but
because I can't.
I think it's still going to be Ripley. Rhea's going to, she's been dominating, dude. She stepped up from what she needed to do. She's being kick ass. I mean, I think it's going to ride with her for a while.
Do you think, though, that since she is part of Judgment Day and Judgment Day kind of having that little inner beef, I guess you could say, with Damian Priest and Finn Balor as of late, with Damian Priest accidentally costing matches with his briefcase on accident? Do you think that that's going to weigh more on Rhea as she goes on in these next few weeks, especially? Especially if that beef gets, you know, more and more as the weeks go.
Rhea's got her own.
That's what I was thinking too. You know,
take care of. So she's probably like, y'all need to figure your shit out. I got my shit over here. Y'all take care of you. I'm over here, but together we're a team. So.
Yeah, but I think for something just tells me that this weekend is gonna be like a little bit of a decline for her, like a little bit of like a hiccup, I guess you could say. I don't see Raquel necessarily winning, but I see it exposing some of Ripley's areas, I guess you could say.
Yeah, some of her
weaknesses. And yeah, showing some of those kinks, maybe the little, you know, not so shiny armor, you know.
I follow her on Snapchat, so I should be able to get a few updates from that too.
But I see it starting like a little downfall. But I got Raquel Rodriguez winning via disqualification.
Ooh.
I think Ripley or Dom's going to get in, you know, Dom or Rhea's going to lose her shit. And it's going to be one of those things where Rhea thinks she should pin her and be done with her, but she keeps kicking out and keeps kicking out and gets her like really razzled. So you I think she's going to do something.
I could see
that. Oh, yeah.
But
I think that's going to start. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And I think that will actually start to play in a little bit of a downfall of the Judgment Day.
I think Rhea's going to get pissed off and show some weakness, but I think she's going to take it.
Oh, yeah. But, I mean, speaking of, like, Judgment Day, too, with Rhea Ripley, but with what I was talking about with Finn and Damian, I do believe they have a match this weekend at Payback.
Seth Rollins.
Don't they?
Kevin Owens. The Steel City Street fight, I want to see. I would like to.
Yeah, that is a Steel City Street
fight. The prediction is Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, but I don't know. Like, I think they're going to take
it. I think, yeah, because like I mentioned, it's just too much, I think, chaos between Priest and Balor right now. Yeah. I don't think that they're going to be working together. I mean, they're going to try to, I think. But I think there's going to be one or two spots that's going to be where, you know, Balor's going in for something or, you know, Priest gets pushed into Balor or something and causes.
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah. It's gonna be some
weird bullshit. Yeah. And then it's gonna, yeah. So I see definitely Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, because not only that, but I mean, I understand Damian Priest can kick it up to a whole nother level, same with Finn Balor. But Kevin Owens, when it comes to no disqualification, there is no limit to how sadistic that guy can get. Sadistic as hell.
Like Kevin Owens.
And especially with him, with that new like gimmick that he just wants to punch everybody that he sees in the face.
Fuck it.
It's just gonna make for a great match.
It's gonna be like, oh my god, it reminds me of Shawn Michaels, where he would just sweet chin music everywhere.
Oh yeah, when it was Sean Spears.
Yeah,
superstar, where he got that sweet chin music. He's like, see what you just made me do? I had a kickstand, or whatever his name was that they gave him.
yes.
And then, ooh. Yeah, but I definitely see
Mysterio versus Austin Theory.
Ooh, that's that one.
Austin Theory has had a tough time since facing John Cena at WrestleMania, which we knew that.
But I got – here's my take. Like I said before with the Acclaimed for their Trios Championship, I feel like it was a filler champion. I feel like Rey Mysterio is a filler champion for the United States Championship right now.
Yes,
I feel like it's going to go back to Austin Theory. I feel like that championship is his baby, like it was with John Cena back in the day when John Cena made it prestigious. Yep. I feel like they're trying to do so much with Theory right now to make him almost like John Cena, almost to be like this next generation of John Cena.
Nobody's ever going to be John
Cena. Oh, no.
Sorry, John Cena was top dog. No, they're not. Forever. They're not.
But yeah, I see them doing something like that, though. And I see if Theory wins, since Cena is coming back, I probably see this setting up for a Theory Cena part two, since they already had it at WrestleMania this past year.
You know
year.
What? I would love to see that. That would be.
And awesome. I feel like that's going to be at this year's WrestleMania, Cena versus Theory part two. And I feel like that's going to. I still don't see it switching hands because John Cena is a part timer and he's in Hollywood now, but. I think it's going to lead up to a match definitely there. And I feel like Ray, he's already won the United States Championship before. He's won just about everything you had. It's just like Trish Stratus. What else do you have to gain in that situation? You don't have anything else to gain. Why not do the JOB and put him over?
I think Becky Lynch is going to win. Oh, Jesus Christ. Becky Lynch is going to win. Again, can't read. Sorry, guys. PCC Central failed me.
Blackpool Combat Club failed you.
But, yeah, Rey Mysterio is going to take it.
Oh, you got Rey Mysterio. Okay.
I think Rey Mysterio is just going to win.
Oh, Rey Mysterio's gonna win. I got theory taking the belt off of him. Like I said, I think it was just gonna be a filler championship. I think it's gonna be done. I think Theory wins it. I think it's gonna set up Theory Escobar. Theory versus Escobar or Theory versus Waller coming up. But yeah, you just mentioned LA Knight versus the Miz. is. I mean, I know your feelings on LA Knight.
I didn't like The Miz for a long time, and then he turned. Well, he changed me. He got
because you watched Miz and Mrs., didn't you? You watched Miz and Mrs., didn't you?
For a hot like two episodes.
That's what turned you. That's what turned you right there. Is watching that.
His attitude back in the day when he was with his tag team back in John Morrison.
Oh yeah, yep.
I hated him then, but then he slowly grew up and changed to who he is now, and I actually really like him. So
okay, so you're going with The Miz, obviously.
I'm going with The Miz. Like,
all right. Well, he needs to put him in his place. Honestly, I like where LA Knight has been like going past few months since he had that squash match against Bray Wyatt and the Mountain Dew Pitch Black match.
That was I'm sorry, I hated that match. That was so stupid.
Yeah, it was one of the worst gimmicky matches ever.
I mean,
credit to both of them for working with what they had, but it was just not the best match, you know. But I think he wasn't right telling The Miz this past Monday night. The next time he sees me, you see me, you better run. Oh, it was last Friday night. And I think they're gonna be setting up LA Knight to probably be the next guy to contend for the United States Championship, honestly. I feel like they're gonna try to give him that push. And I feel like The Miz, as of late, especially with him and even Dolph Ziggler, as of late, have been putting wrestlers over, like, left and right and making them
look great.
So I feel like this is what The Miz is going to do, is going to put LA Knight over. I feel like at the end of the match, you're going to see Miz laying down in the middle of the ring after a three count with everybody saying, LA Knight, yeah.
You know what? I'm being devil's advocate.
I got LA Knight
gonna win. I'm taking this.
I got LA Knight in the squash.
You know, I gotta challenge everything. I've always challenged everything. I'm going to still challenge everything.
I got LA match. It's gonna be a squash match.
We got the Grayson Waller effect with Cody Rhodes.
That's just a TV show, yeah. Like a little like a segment.
I'm gonna be honest. I have no idea what that is. So
it's just like waiting. You know how Miz. It was like Miz TV.
Ah, okay, okay, yeah. Okay. I'm just waiting for another big match for Cody Rhodes. Like that's what I want. I love that he has the big thing right here.
The big tattoo.
I love it. Like he always like. I watched something where he said he's never getting tattoos. He hated the fact of tattoos.
Yes, two of them.
One right fucking here on his neck. And
is like, that one on his pec too?
Yeah, he's got his dad's name on his chest, and then he's got him right here.
Yo. Oh, yeah, that's going to be interesting to see where he goes to, especially after his entire thing with the bloodline and then losing to Lesnar and then beating Lesnar. It's like kind of like in a little area in which what's next for him. It's like we don't know what's next for him. He wants to finish his story, but, you know, get in line. Everybody else wants Roman Reigns too.
Yeah, it's, I don't know.
And guess who gets first crack at him, technically? The guy with the briefcase, Damian Priest. He gets him whenever, wherever he wants.
This is very true. I hate that he keeps throwing that, like, in the ring. And, like, just fucking
use it. And not just that, but it's also hurting the Judgment Day. Like I said, it's going to be one of those things that's going to be the downfall of him. Because he's going to throw it in there. It's going to cost him another match. It's already cost Finn matches twice already.
It made me mad as hell.
And it's going to, like I said, that's going to be an ultimate downfall, I think, in their tag team match with Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. They can't work side by side.
It's going to be interesting to see.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be a fun weekend of wrestling. Definitely going to be a fun weekend for whatever you guys are doing, whether it be barbecuing, watching college football, watching some wrestling.
I'm going to be watching a little bit of everything, so I might end up taking my laptop with me.
Exactly. Get all those streaming devices, get all that streaming connected, and watch a little bit of everything. All right, Jobber Nation. Well, that is our podcast for this week. Got anything else to add, Face? Got any socials to plug? Any?
Well, Twitch, just follow us, like Jobber Club. Jobber Nation, I mess it up. Jobber Club, Jobber Nation, follow us on Facebook. I'm still trying to set us up a Twitch so we can jump on there as well. It's just taking me a minute because I lost a couple programs, so now I'm getting them back. Follow me, Tyler Face, Ty Face on Facebook, Ty Face Gaming on Twitch. Typeface Gaming 13, I should say, on Twitch. That's all I have right now for me. What about you? All
right, man. Well, nothing much. Just you can find me at the Jobber Club Facebook page. Other than that, I am usually lurking in a near a wrestling ring somewhere, trying to get the latest scoop on who's going to be going where and when they're going to, when their contracts expire, all that good stuff. Mm-hmm. But anyways, we'll just go ahead and have a little throwback from our former co-host of Nicholas Cole, who used to say, "Don't forget to spade and neuter your children." All right, guys, that's us. That's all of us for now, and we'll see you next time.
Deuces.
We're really glad that you're our friend, and this is a friendship that'll never